So speaking of sons and daughters, I have 5 sons and daughters. Well, I actually have 9 now because they're getting married. But Steph is my oldest daughter. And as your kids grow up and your grandkids come, you know, you're so proud of them and you celebrate their accomplishments and the great things that they do in life. But probably above all of that is just the most important thing is what is their relationship with Jesus like? And as Steph comes to preach this morning, the thing that really stands out to me about her is just her love for Jesus, her passion for Jesus, and her strength of character. And so you're going to be blessed this morning. So let's give her a big welcome as she comes.
Thanks, Daddy-O. Morning. Lauren. Hey. Woohoo. It's good to be here. God is so good. So good. Just my message has pretty much been in the songs. It's been, Sue's just said it, and I'm just going to keep it going. But let's just pray before I start, hey. God, we just love you so much. Holy Spirit, right now we ask you to have your way here. Speak loud, I pray, above my words. I just want you to bring revelation and truth to people's hearts. And I pray this dry throat will go in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so God has given me this topic of courage. And he's pretty funny because I think if I wasn't speaking on courage, maybe I would have said, Dad, you can do it this week. I think I'll just chicken out. But I'm speaking on courage, so I had to get up and I had to do it. And I got thinking about this book that when I was a kid, we had just all these books. And I randomly remember reading this one book called Courage. And I remember the front cover, it had this little kid on a diving board. And I remember, the only thing I remember is that it took courage to be a firefighter. That's all I can remember. And so I went on YouTube and I typed in the book and I found it and this lady read it to me. Amber and I were watching and it said, courage. There's all different kinds of courage, everyday courage and the awesome kinds. And Hyde's knows the book. I think she's got it buried in a box somewhere. But it had these funny lines like, what was my favourite? You need courage when you're the new kid on the block and you just have to flat out say, hi, my name's Wayne, what's yours? Who calls their kid Wayne? Seriously. Do we have any Waynes here? No Waynes? It's funny how names change really because when I was a kid I remember hearing about this other kid called Jack and I laughed so hard. I'm like, that's like an old man's name. And now I have a kid called Jack. So anyway, and Amber, her favourite one was, you need courage when you're writing a Valentine's Day card to someone that you secretly admire and you sign your real name. That is courage. It was a very funny book. But even as little kids, we want courage. And the older we get, we want to be strong and courageous. It's in all of us. It's a part of who we are. The definition of courage is the ability to do something that frightens one. It's bravery, strength in the face of pain or grief. So we all want to have courage. The courage to step out of our comfort zones. The courage to believe that God could use us, every single one of us. The courage to face just the pain and the troubles in life that come with strength. We can't actually reach our potential in God without courage. It's the way he created us to live. He doesn't want us to live in fear and worry like Suze was talking about. So this message today, it's for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is for you. I've never done that before. It's for you. It's for me. It's for me too. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to go to Matthew 14 And let's see what Jesus has to say about it. So a lot of you might have heard this story about Jesus walking on the water. So I'm going to read the whole thing if that's okay. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Just those two verses, we can learn so much from Jesus, hey? Verse 24. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and in fear they cried out, "It's a ghost!" And every time I read that, I just hear that song, "I found a ghost." He's lighting up the darkness. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." And then Peter called to him, said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Jesus said, "Yes, come." So Peter went out over the side of the boat and he walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and he grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why'd you doubt me?" When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Now, what a story. Sometimes we can read through that and just not think too much about it, but he's walking on the waves. Now, these were big waves, I reckon. Sometimes there's been photos of, like, Jesus and Peter and the sun shining and the water's sparkly and clear, but it's totally wrong. These were big waves. It was night. It was dark. It was windy and cold. Okay, so if we backtrack just a little bit of what happened before that, it was an incredible day. If you read the chapter before, it said there was crowds flocking to Jesus. He healed all the sick people among them, every single one. And then there'd been so much good stuff happening and miracles happening, and then everyone was hungry and they had no food, so they took 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and they fed 5,000 men and all the kids and all the ladies, and there was 12 baskets left over that the disciples had picked up. And who knows, the disciples might have had those 12 baskets of food sitting in the boat with them, of the leftover miracle that had just happened. It was an incredible day. And they would have just been so excited about what had happened and what they'd seen with their very own eyes. But then we fast forward a little bit later, Jesus had told them, "Get in the boat, cross the lake," and here they were in trouble. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far from the land. A strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Doesn't that seem a little bit crazy? They just had this awesome day. They would picked up all the leftovers of this miracle, and the disciples were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Get in the boat. They followed exactly what he told them to do, yet here they were in trouble. Like, Jesus is the Son of God. He knew there was going to be waves and storm and they'd be fighting for their lives. Why? And sometimes it's a little bit what life is like, hey? Sometimes life is awesome, life is good, and then suddenly something happens. You're following Jesus, you're in the will of God, you're doing what he asked you to do, and there's still trouble. Like the other week, we had an incredible conference, and we all keep talking about it because it was so good. There was breakthrough. There was things happening. There was healing. There was people coming to know Jesus, and it was amazing. And then that night in our town, there was trouble. And we can sometimes think that trouble comes from our own silly mistakes, which it does. It really does. Sometimes we stuff things up and there's trouble. But often, trouble means you're actually heading in the right direction. You're actually doing what Jesus asked you to do. And it seems just so back to front, but it is the reality of life on earth. And there's such a simple explanation for it all. And that is that there's darkness and there's light. There's a spiritual world that we just can't see. And in Ephesians it says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world. At conference there was so much spiritual breakthrough and stuff happening in even over this town and over this region. And the devil's like, no, I don't like this. I'm going to fight back. And there's a war going on in the spiritual. And of course he's going to try to attack the ones that just love Jesus with all their heart. The ones that lay it all down and say, Jesus, use me. Of course he's going to try and take them out. That's what he does. Because they're the ones that are most effective in the kingdom of God. They're the ones that are bringing people to Jesus. So if we want revival, we've actually got a battle on our hands. And we can fight with a lot of prayer, with a lot of worship. And if we want to see revival, we've got to have a lot of courageous and strong people rise up. Courageous people that are going to lay their lives down for the cause. People that have the faith to see this whole community transformed. So good, hey. That's why I love that song, This Is How We Fight Our Battles. I love it because we're fighting a spiritual battle. Oh, God is so good. James tells us to consider it pure joy when we face troubles. Not my brother James. This is the Bible, James. Although he would probably agree. But it's the storms and the troubles and the things that we really don't want to go through, but they build character and perseverance and strength. It's the storms that teach us things. They push us to the next level. Even if we're not ready, they just push us on. Well, they either do that or they cause us to shrink back, which Dad was talking about last week. When the storms come, when the troubles come, don't shrink back. That's what the devil wants. We need to step up and move forward. Let the storm push us on. And it will stop because storms don't last that long. You will get through it. So back in this story, it says it's about 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus is heading towards them, walking on the water. So if you remember, Jesus had sent them off. He'd gone to pray. They'd just fed everyone. That was in probably the early evening. And then this is 3 o'clock in the morning. This is a fair big chunk of time has passed. So these guys could have been fighting these waves for a really long time. Who knows how long it was. And that's a lot like life too, because, you know, we never know when Jesus is going to turn up. Often it's not in our timing. It's not when we think he should, when we call out in that exact second. Wouldn't it be awesome if he just came and changed the situation in that second when we cry out? But it's in his timing. Because his timing is different to our timing, but he will always show up. He'll always come. And in that time, maybe God is trying to teach us to rely on him fully. To just rest and rely on him. Maybe the greater the storm, the greater the purpose. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this, but why not? It might help someone. But at the start of the year, something happened that fully just turned my world upside down. And there were some days there where I actually needed courage just to face the day. Things happen, and I remember walking down the street and I'm like, God, I had my worship songs, I had my scriptures, I had just everything, and I said, God, just help me get through this hour. And then the next hour, just God, just help me get through this hour. And it was like I just had to fully rely on Him, fully just rest in Him. And as I did that, I felt so close to Him. I was so intimate with God at that time, even though it was crazy and things were going on and it was trouble, but I just felt such an intimacy with God then, which is just amazing. And now I can look back and I can smile at the goodness, how good He is. So Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Excuse me. So when you know Jesus is here, when you know He's there with you, fear just goes. At that time, fear didn't even enter my head because I was just relying on Him. God, You've got this. And I believe that's what Jesus would say to you today. Take courage. I am here. Take courage. I am right here with you. Wherever you go, whatever you go through, I'm right here. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't fear evil because I am right here. I'm with you. And if you look into those words in my study Bible, it says, the I am is here. I don't know if you've heard the I am, capital A-M. And God uses that at the start of the Bible to describe Himself. He's like, I am. He is. He always will be. He always was. It's like there's not enough words to describe how good God is. He just is. He doesn't love like we love. He is love. He is the truth. He is the life. He's greater and more powerful than our little human minds can even comprehend. And He is with you. Whew. If we could really get that, imagine. We are strong and courageous when we are in Christ. And I love that it's all about Him. It's not about us. We just get to fall back and just rest in Him. I have in my notes here talking about a son or daughter. We're His sons and His daughters. Exactly what Suze was saying. We don't have to try and conjure up some courage, build it up, work it up. I'm going to be courageous. Nah. We just rest in Him. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And if you need courage to face the day, He's there. He's right there with you. It's okay. He's right there. If you need the courage to step out and share the gospel with someone, to tell them about Jesus, friends, family, at work, wherever, He's there with you. He'll give you the words to say. That's what He does. If you need courage to step out and pray for healing, He's with you. He's the one that heals. He decides whether they get healed or they don't. He's right there. And I got thinking about that one because I've prayed for so many people and got really disappointed that it didn't happen. And the other week at conference after it, there'd been so many healings and things. And Linda and I were talking out in the foyer and she goes, oh, I've got this rotten headache. I'm like, a headache after that? Pain be gone in Jesus' name. And it went, didn't it? She's like, oh. But I didn't even think. Like sometimes we think, oh, what if God's going to do it? What if he's not this and that? Just go with it. Just don't get in your own head. It happened another day. I was out in the supermarket, and normally if I would go and pray for something, that is a massive deal to me. Like to have the courage and the boldness to do that, that's huge for me. It's just not really my personality. But there was this lady who she wanted a slab of Coke. She's like, can you get that slab of Coke? I've got a really bad back and it's in pain. And I'm like, you got a bad back, can I pray? Like I didn't even think. And I just laid my hands on her back and prayed, and then I quickly left. But he gives us the courage when we don't overthink everything. He's right there with us. And I don't know what's going on in your world, what you need courage for. Maybe it's a work situation. Maybe there's a lot of dodgy things going on. You need to stand up for the truth. Jesus is the truth. He'll be there. He's got your back. And this theme of being strong and courageous, it's throughout the entire Bible. In Psalm 31:24, it says, so be strong and courageous, all of you who put your hope in the Lord. And it's actually a command. Be strong and courageous. You, me, everyone, be strong and courageous. It's what he expects when we put our hope in him. It's the overflow. It just happens. That's what happens. Deuteronomy 31, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Psalm 27, I can just keep going on and on. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And I think sometimes we can think of waiting like you're sitting in the doctor's waiting. It's not that kind of waiting. It's the kind of waiting where you just put your faith in him. He's got it. He's going to take care of it in his timing. That kind of waiting is seeking him and asking his perspective, his plan, his purpose for the situation. Can I do one more? Joshua 1:7-9 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a verse. Joshua, he puts it so clearly right there. If we want to be strong and courageous, get into this book. Get it in your heart. Meditate on it. And back then, it was like they would have only had 4 or 5 books of the Bible. We've got the whole thing. Get into it. Then you succeed. Then you will be strong and courageous. And lastly, my favourite is worship. And if we go back to the story in Matthew, it says, after Jesus had walked on the waves, then Peter had a good crack at it. I love Peter. He's one of my favourites. Sometimes he gets a hard time that, you know, he didn't trust fully and he sank. But I just love him. He jumped over the edge of that boat and actually gave it a go. In the wind and the waves and in the dark. That is just crazy. But in 32 it says, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. Now, this is pretty cool because this is the first time in the Gospels that we read that the disciples worshipped. I don't know what they sang or what they did, but they worshipped. And we worship him for who he is and what he's done and how great he is and how amazing God is. And it's not about us, but at the same time, isn't it interesting that that's the thing that changes us so much? I think the more that you worship, the better you'll be. That's my philosophy of life. Worship changes things. When you're in his presence, it changes things. Changes our hearts when we just spend time adoring him and worshiping him for who he is. And who hasn't walked out of church in this great, amazing band and worship and walked out not feeling more strong and courageous? So what about you? Do you live each day walking with Jesus? Do you act and speak like he's right there with you all the time? What a big challenge that is. That just challenges me to the very core of who I am. Do I act and speak like Jesus is right here with me wherever I go? That's huge. But he is. If you've asked him into your heart, he's with you. He loves you. Now, as the band come back, I was wondering if we could all just close our eyes for a second. And we're going to imagine. And if you think it's a bit weird, just go with it and try it this once. Imagine a church full of people that acted and spoke like Jesus was right there with them. Imagine. Fear and worry doesn't even exist. The fear of man doesn't exist. Imagine how many new people would be brought into this place. Imagine how many people would be coming to know Jesus. Imagine the miracles that would happen because we all believe Jesus is right here with us. And he loves people more than we do. He wants to see people transformed. He wants to see hurting people come to know him, change their life, turn it around. What do you see when you imagine that? I think it looks like revival. I love this church. And you can open your eyes if you like. It's such a great place to be. I love the humility here, the culture, the way that you guys just love people and you love Jesus. There are so many strong and courageous people in this room. It's incredible. And, you know, I just feel so honoured to be a part of it. And the cool thing is that being with great people, you encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron. You bounce off each other. I'd never really connected encouragement with courage. You encourage, you're putting courage into people. And we can all do that. Just say something good. Say something encouraging. Give someone a prophetic word. Give someone a scripture. It builds courage and we can all do that. So as we finish up today, you can find someone after this and do a bit of encouraging. But if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, stepping out, this is my little Ivy. She's just turned one. Isn't she cute? If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, to give him your life, to be forgiven of all your sins, geez, Ivy. Today I was wondering if it could be your day to step out. It will be the most brave and courageous thing you will ever do, but it will change your life forever. Jesus wants to come in. He wants to love you and have a relationship with you. So if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, as we sing, I'd ask that you just be so brave and courageous and just come up the front, and one of us can pray with you and just ask Jesus to be a part of your life. Why don't we all stand? Also, if there's anyone that's just, you just worry a lot. You try not to, but there's just this worry and fear and anxiety. Jesus wants that to go. He wants you to rest in Him and to rely on Him. And Jesus and fear, they don't mix. They don't go good together. So if you want to get rid of worry and anxiety, I'd love to pray for you. And anything else, if you need healing, anything, just come up the front and we can pray. Let's sing.